government reckons 95% of all first-time buyers who pay stamp duty will save, while 80% will pay no stamp duty at all. But it begs the question, how many first-time buyers actually pay stamp duty? Because, of course, in a lot of areas in the country, it won't really reach the threshold with which they will start paying stamp duty, because house prices are lower.
Yes, so the stamp duty kicks in at £125,000. So if you are a first-time buyer and you are buying across vast swathes of the UK, you will probably be paying maybe about £150,000. And at £150,000, under the old stamp duty rules, before this exemption came in, abolition, in fact, it's not an exemption, you would have only paid £500. So at which point, saving £500 versus the cost of buying a property is £500 in your pocket, not £500 in the government's, which is good news for you, but it's not a huge amount of money. If you go up to £200,000, you'd be saving yourself £1,500 from this. Not to be sniffed at, that's starting to be a more meaningful sum of money. But if you were raising a 10% deposit, that's £20,000, so £1,500 versus £20,000. Once you get up to £250,000, though, you'd have been paying £2,500 in stamp duty. And then if you go up to £300,000, because of the way it works, you'd be paying £5,000. Now, keeping £5,000 in your pocket is not something to be sniffed at. And then as you go above £300,000, mm-hmm. you still just save £5,000, but you end up paying some stamp duty. Now, obviously, for a lot of people, this won't save them a huge amount of money. But for people buying in the places where house prices are the highest, and let us remember that that is not a benefit to those people. There's this misconception. People buying in high house price areas are in some way benefiting. They're not. They're suffering more than anyone else. And in fact, it's harder to buy there. If you go around the country and compare prices to wages, it is harder to buy in London and the South East and large swathes of the South. They will save a substantial amount of money. And that can only be a good thing, because it is better that they have the money themselves than that money goes on tax. And even if house prices go up, as the OBR suggested,
yes,
it
exactly.
is better that you keep that money yourself, or have that money invested into this thing that you have bought that is ultimately a very long-term investment, than that you simply hand that money over to the government. You win. There's also something that's been misconstrued with this, where it's been said, oh, but it's only expected to increase the number of first-time buyers by X amount, 3,500 extra first-time buyers. But that wasn't what this was about. This wasn't about increasing the number of first-time buyers. Actually, first-time buyer numbers are very healthy at the moment. It's about putting more money in first-time buyers' pockets and allowing them to keep hold of more money. But to go back to why I think the OBR logic is flawed, firstly, because they modelled this on some research that the HMRC did in a previous stamp duty holiday, when they looked at transactions, they looked at the holiday, and they decided that effectively the amount of money that people were saving on stamp duty was feeding through into higher house prices. Now, I don't think that you can draw across from a temporary holiday that triggered a rush to buy properties, and you can see that in the transactions data and in the mortgage data, that there was a rush to buy properties, to a permanent exemption. And you have to remember that it's all very well saying, well, this will just put some more money in the first-time buyers' pockets and they can just spend some more money on a property. But they are ultimately the people who decide how much they pay for the property. So the seller can't just add it to the price. Yeah. So I think that it will have an upward effect on house prices. I think it probably will stimulate a bit more demand in the market. I think it will put a bit of a spring in first-time buyer steps. But I don't think that you could read across that it's just going to go straight onto house prices as the OBR has. As I've said before, I think stamp duty has now effectively turned into a capital gains tax because it is charged at such high levels, but one that is bizarrely paid by the buyer rather than the seller. So you pay a tax based on the profit that someone else has made. Now, there is an idea to turn this around and make it so that the seller pays stamp duty. I've shied away from this for a long time, but I'm thinking that if we can't cut stamp duty to a flat 1% for everyone, maybe it is time to make the seller pay, because they are the person making the profit. Now, the big argument against this is that during the changeover period, you will end up paying stamp duty twice on the same property. So to take me as an example, when we bought our flat, we ended up paying £12,000 worth of stamp duty. If we sold our flat now and we moved to this new system I'm suggesting where the seller pays, I'd have to pay stamp duty on the flat again. But if we sold our flat, we'd be moving to somewhere. And the place that we would be moving to is most likely going to be more expensive. So even if we pay stamp duty twice on the same property, we will end up paying less stamp duty than we would do overall. So to take the example of if we moved around the corner to a house, which we're not going to do, but if we moved around the corner to a house, we'd end up paying about 35 grand's worth of stamp duty, whereas if we bought our flat right now, we'd end up paying 25. So we pay twice on the same flat, we'd pay a total of 12 when we bought it, 25 when we sold it, 37, versus if we paid once on our flat and the house that we bought, we'd pay 47. So it would actually save us money. I'd rather get rid of it altogether. I'd rather cut it down to 1%. But if we're not going to do that and we're going to keep it, maybe we just need to treat it like what it is, a capital gains tax, and the seller pays, but only if you make a profit on the property.